was Kitchen by Jasmine Forti off of her debut record, You Are the Morning, here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I don't like J.K. Rowling. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and my name is Leslie. I'm your host for this hour of community radio. And I personally feel that you should not continue to enjoy Harry Potter, or at least distribute Harry Potter, if you are a person who continues to distribute Harry Potter and you insist, however, that you are a supporter of women, trans rights, queer people. Let's just go with the very basic. If you support women, if you claim to love women, but you are out here lending your Harry Potter books to the young people in your family, or you are trying to get access to play a new Harry Potter video game, and you claim that you are a feminist, I strongly implore you to not do those things and consider what type of feminist you really want to be. J.K. Rowling, as discussed earlier, is a huge transphobe, but her bigotry and her weird, non-inclusive feminism does not extend only to trans exclusion. It also extends to many other people, including other queer people. A few weeks ago, it was Asexual Visibility Week, and J.K. Rowling, nobody asked her, okay? No one asked her, nobody cares, but she felt that it was very important to make the tweet in which she says, and I quote, "How do asexual people know whether they're gay or straight, I wonder?" I mean, sure, I guess some people who might not be very familiar with ace people and who actually may not have a very broad or complex understanding of sexuality might legitimately feel that way. They might legitimately think that. And it's because of ignorance. But listen to this. She also wrote, quote, "Happy International Fake Oppression Day to everyone who wants complete strangers to know that they don't," and I'm going to use daytime radio-friendly language here, "don't want to engage in a sexual relationship." Okay. Let me break it down for you. Asexual people actually are truly an oppressed minority. A lot of people don't have, truly, they don't have a lot of familiarity with asexual people and their experiences, largely because this is a newer kind of definition that people, or a newer kind of identity or label that people of a very particular type of sexual orientation experience are using more often these days. In the past, yes, maybe people who didn't really experience sexual attraction or experienced a lack of sexual attraction may not have used this term to label their experiences, but now there are more people who are using it and identifying with it, and that is not at all a bad thing. But asexual people do still experience oppression at the hands of the state, and actually very often in the medical system. In fact, there is still also a lot of discrimination against asexual people. There are a lot of people who genuinely believe that asexual people can be cured because they are simply experiencing something physiological. And there are people who also believe that asexuality is very similar to how people used to think of homosexuality as being a mental health disorder. The list of ways in which asexual people are discriminated against and oppressed can go on and on. I know in my life, I have met asexual women whose lives would have looked completely different if there were supports for asexual people back when they were younger. Instead, they were pressured by society to get married and settle down, and they didn't have much of a choice to even engage with the idea of marriage. They just had to, because otherwise they would not be able to have certain socioeconomic resources. When I think about that intersection between gender and sexuality, it reminds me of why I really don't think that J.K. Rowling is a feminist. Because if it is the case that J.K. Rowling based a lot of her feminist activities on discussions around violence against women and how women are subjugated through violence, through violent misogynist acts, through even gender-based violence, why is her view of violence not broader? Why is it not concerning not only interpersonal violence that, as I understand, she has based a lot of her own personal experiences on, and that's where she creates her ideas of feminism from, but rather she is not more also concerned with the violence of the state and the violence of legislative systems or the violence of the medical system or even social and cultural pressures. I think if she were a real feminist, she would consider all of those things, right? Because it wasn't too long ago that, you know, you really did have to get married and have children in order to be a woman that had resources, right? I mean, the people who I was talking about just a few moments ago, they were growing up in the 60s and the 70s, and in many places in the world right now, including even in the West, that is still the case for some people, right? If J.K. Rowling were actually concerned about the well-being of women, about women's rights, she were really actually concerned about quashing misogyny, then she would not have such narrow bio-essentialist, frankly, in my opinion, gender essentialist understandings of gender and sexuality. In fact, they would be much broader, they would be much deeper, they would be intersectional and way more well-informed. But I'll talk a little bit about why that's not the case and why that's the problem after this music break. Here is Sophie with a track called Just Like We Never Said Goodbye. Hope you enjoy it.
We were young and out of control. I hadn't seen you since I was about 16 years old. But then you called me up the other day. I was shocked, but what could I say? And your voice exactly the same. And it makes me feel, oh, just like you never said goodbye when you spoke to me. Thank you. the night. We were young. We had everything we needed. So I'm happy with me. I got everything I could ever need. And it makes me feel, and it makes me feel, and it makes me feel, and it makes me feel. Oh, it's like we never said goodbye. When you held my hand that way. Oh, just like we never said goodbye.
Takes things a little too far, presses a little too hard. That's why you left a mark. And I'm the kind of girl who wants everything she can't get, leaving alone and yet somehow still leaving a mess. But I'm a girl who's learning everything I say isn't definitive. I'm not some kind of minor trope who's never gonna change that soul. Derivative. I could get up tomorrow, talk to myself real gentle. Somebody who actually likes me for me. And this time I'll let them. Yeah, I like telling stories, but I don't have to write them in ink. I could still change the end. At least I'm the kind of girl. I'm the kind of.
Kind of Girl by Muna, here on Typically Tuesdays, 90.1 FM, CJSF. So, I've talked at length. I feel like I've been pretty, like, critical and negative on today's show. And it can feel really uncomfortable, right? Because, like, wow, Leslie, you're telling me about this, like, woman. And you're just saying these things that she's done. They're horrible. What's going on? Here's the thing. I think, you know, I have people in my life who are transgender. I have people in my life who are ace. I also am a woman and I am lesbian. And whenever I hear about the ways that J.K. Rowling just has this really narrow idea of women, and she claims that all of this bigotry that she's platforming is for the sake of women, that upsets me. That upsets me as a feminist. That's upsetting to me as a lesbian. It upsets me as a person with people in my life who I care deeply about, and I want them to live good lives. I stopped engaging with J.K. Rowling's garbage rants online many years ago. I blocked her. I also completely dropped Harry Potter from my life several years ago as well, at the encouragement of trans people who they themselves have complicated relationships with the property. But what I heard from them and what I understood from them felt more profound than any nostalgia that I could hold for this property, which was that they were actively being harmed by the rhetoric and huge platform of this unapologetic bigot. J.K. Rowling may be known to most people as a beloved children's novel series author, and she also has millions of followers on the internet who always see the kind of horrible bigotry that she thinks is okay to put out into the world. When I think about how a person like that has access to influence not only children, not only young people, but their parents as well, the adults in the lives of these young readers, and adults in general who maybe are interested in exploring kids' lit, it really concerns me. I mean, I also think that the way that she conceptualizes women is inaccurate and really flattening. Based on what I've seen from what she's written about and what she, like, you know, constantly goes on about, women can only be defined by having been violated, by having been victims of violence. And any woman who has not is essentially not a woman, or any woman who will not fall prey to that is essentially not a woman. I think that's why she feels that transgender women are not women, because she does not believe that gender-based violence can happen to transgender women. I think also that's why she thinks that transgender men are simply confused women, because she thinks that those complicated relationships that trans men must have with masculinity and violence informs why they would want to transition. But obviously, those things, they're not the whole truth, because women, yes, a lot of the times we are subjected to violence. And as I see it anyways, women can also be huge proponents and perpetuators of violence in the way that J.K. Rowling has, in her bigotry, in her insistence on using the state to create these horrible laws around gender. It's just really horrible to think about how this person who has a lot of wealth, very, very wealthy, because of her success of being the author of Harry Potter, and a person with a lot of social and cultural influence, perhaps even has some connections in the political world, is celebrating such bigoted legislation, celebrating legislation that actually doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, there are intersex people as well in the world. How can we say then that a woman is based on biological sex when even biological sex exists on a spectrum? And the thing that, like, I'm so tickled by, but I'm so horrified by, of course, is that her bigotry rests on something so, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this word again, so stupid, right? Like, she was one of the big proponents of that whole mob of folks who were transvestigating the female boxer Iman Khalif last year during the Olympics. Transvestigating, if you're not aware, it just means people using racist, classist, sizes tropes to try to figure out whether or not somebody who is cisgender actually is transgender. And J.K. Rowling would tweet these really stupid things, like she'd be like, now we're allowing women to get hit in sports? And it's like, Joanne, are we watching the same television program? Like, this is literally female boxing. Like, like, what is she on, bro? And that's the thing, right? Like, it's not even just about the bigotry, but it's also about how illogical these things are, right? This is how far she's willing to go. She's willing to, like, say those stupid things in order to continue to be validated as a bigot. And I think we're really, like, in this time in our world right now, we really have to consider whether or not it's worth continuing to still monetarily and also emotionally invest in people who have huge platforms already and who are very, very, very wealthy. Again, like, lots of social influence, cultural influence, and possibly even political influence. Is it worth continuing to support their work? Right? Life is really hard for transgender people right now. It's really hard for even, like, some queer cisgender people. And it's hard for, like, women in general too, right? I mean, like, even cisgender women, which conveniently, like, J.K. Rowling has not ever seemed to, like, be concerned about reproductive justice, nor has she really seemed to be concerned about, like, pay gap justice and things like that, pay equity. None of those things. But she really wants to use her platform, use her wealth, use her influence to have a slice of the cis heteropatriarchy cake. No matter how you slice it, Joanne, you're not ever going to get the biggest piece, because you too are a person subjugated to cis heteropatriarchy. But she's not going to hear that. She's not going to hear my words. And so that's why I think it's time for us to talk with our dollars. It's time for us to actually divest from Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling. It's time for us to put that investment into actually showing solidarity with trans communities and queer communities and women in general and other marginalized genders. J.K. Rowling's never going to give us that. Harry Potter is never going to give us that. The fact that Harry Potter is made by J.K. Rowling means that it's never going to show support and solidarity to these communities. its ongoing popularity, its ongoing notoriety, and the growing franchise, it's just going to empower her even more. And if you also have trans loved ones, if you have queer loved ones, if you have loved ones who are women and people of other marginalized genders, I invite you to brainstorm with me and other people into thinking about how we can disempower her and empower the people in our lives who are really, really harmed by her influence and by her bigotry and by her rhetoric. Listen, I think this is where I'm going to end the episode today on Typically Tuesdays. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. You don't have to agree with me in what I'm saying. Maybe you're also navigating this whole thing in your own way. Maybe you haven't dropped Harry Potter completely, but you are showing support to your trans loved ones and your queer loved ones and in your own way. I want to know how you're doing it, so I get an idea of how other people are also coping and figuring this out. Send me a DM over on Instagram. I'm at Typically Tuesdays. You can also contact me through email. I'm typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. And also, I will be sharing further learning and listening and resources and references that I have referred to in today's episode in the episode show notes on the archived show on cjsf.ca whenever this gets uploaded later on in the week. When I say that this has been truly like a long time struggle, like I've been like dealing with these thoughts and feelings for several years, and I know a lot of people have been as well, I could only come to the conclusion that I have come to now thanks to the work of other cultural critics and media critics such as Princess Weeks and also Matt Berenstein and even Natalie Wynn. I'll leave those resources again in the episode description of this episode when it goes out onto the archive later on this week. So check it out if you're interested. All right, tune into more great CJSF programming. If you want something more positive and isn't just like, the world is bad, J.K. Rowling sucks, blah, 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 she's a heinous loser, you can tune into Free Voices, which airs every Thursday during the same time that Typically Tuesdays airs, from 3 to 4. It's all about like human personal growth, you know, positivity, human rights. It's a great time. I love Free Voices. You gotta check it out if you want to have a little nugget of like just optimism in your day. Free Voices every Thursday from 3 to 4. Thank you so much again for sticking with me during this hour. Here is the final track. This is by Van Con, Rising Star, Icons, Worry Wart with Red Wine. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF, and I'll talk to you very soon.